Support for Faith Matters comes from the law offices of Mullen, Hoard, and Brown, LLP, offering a full range of legal services to regional and national clients. Mullen, Hoard, and Brown are members of ALFA International. More information is available at 765-7491 or mullenhoard.com.
Welcome to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life. Now here's the host of Faith Matters, Tom McGovern.
I'm Tom McGovern, host of Faith Matters. We visit our archives to recall the early history of the medical school with the late Reverend Ted Dotts as host and the late Dr. Ted Hartman and Dr. Henry Schein as guests. We invite you to join in this illuminating and colorful conversation.
Hello, I'm Ted Dotts, and welcome to Faith Matters. Today, we are deeply honored to have two guests. We have Professor Henry Schein and Professor Ted Hartman. Both these men were instrumental in the forming of the Texas Tech University Medical School. We're going to discuss the origin of that medical school and what went into it. It is a marvelous thing to be able to have a new institution grow up in a city like Lubbock, especially when other cities in the state of Texas were eager to have this medical school for their own, but instead Lubbock managed to do it, and largely because of these two men. I'm going to ask first that Professor Schein introduce himself, and then Professor Hartman introduce himself, and then we will get into some questions and hopefully some good answers. Professor Schein, would you tell our audience who you are?
I'm Henry Schein, and for the purposes today, I was chairman of the chemistry department at Texas Tech when the idea for having a medical school was first broached, and during the formative years of the medical school. I came to Lubbock in 1954 to join the chemistry department as an assistant professor, and I have stayed with it ever since. I still office in the department, and this will be my 60th year with Texas Tech. Although I'm retired, I still work in the department.
And Professor Schein, what country did you originate in?
Well, you know very well I came from England.
Yes,
I came to the United States in 1948.
After escaping from the bombing that went on in England during the Second World War.
By that time the war was over, but I did live in London during the bombing of World War II, yes.
And Dr. Hartman, would you tell our audience who you are?
Yes, I am retired from School of Medicine. I was invited in 1970 to attend as a consultant meetings with various persons that would be involved in a new medical school on the campus at Texas Tech University. It was a fascinating idea to start over completely from scratch and begin a school which could provide to the West Texas area the type of care that they really needed and were not fully getting because of the paucity of physicians throughout this general area.
Dr. Hartman, an orthopedic surgeon, came to Lubbock to help establish the medical school, but before that you were a tank driver at the lower level in the Second World War and at the Battle of the Bulge. Now, I would like to offer a quote from the book Instant Doctor, The Story of a New Medical School, Volume 1, Eye of the Storm, by Robert McCarter and George Tyner, Texas Tech Press, 1986. On page 17, these are the words: "The overwhelming combination of encountering the usual roadblocks to a medical school's creation, of enduring the loss of resources deemed essential to the school's design, and of endeavoring to keep their promises, simply made Tech's and Lubbock's task impossible. There was no conceivable way to build a medical school under these conditions. And yet you two men are largely responsible for building a medical school. So could you tell our audience what it was like to, under such conditions, build the medical school?
I would like to say that you're putting quite an honor on my shoulders by saying I was largely responsible. Now, you might say that of Ted Hartman, but I don't think you could say that really of me. I was a sort of innocent bystander brought into the planning for the medical school because at that time, as I say, I was chairman of the chemistry department. The planners of the medical school in those very early days had a philosophy for building an unusual type of medical school in which the science departments on the campus would play a big role. So rather than classify me as one of those responsible for building the medical school, I was brought into the planning as a consultant only because I was chairman of the chemistry department, and the chemistry department housed also one of its divisions, rather, was in biochemistry. And it was the biochemistry part of the chemistry department that brought me into the initial planning.
Dr. Hartman?
Dr. Schein and I were consultants together at the very first meeting to discuss the possibilities and the means of developing the curriculum, among other things, for the medical school. We had very similar ideas about what could be done with the saving personnel, and this was our impression from the very beginning that we would be sharing responsibilities with the main campus.
Along that line, in the book, Dr. Schein, you have one of the first letters that's quoted in the book. And in your letter, you say it was your impression that the medical school faculty, as they came here, had no intention of getting into the kind of collaboration that was assumed. Was that one of the major problems and issues that you faced?
As far as I'm concerned, it was. My recollection is that the reason for having a medical school on the campus, the persuasive reason, was that the campus would play a large role in the education of the medical students. It's my memory, maybe questionable, but it's my memory, that initially there was to be a different kind of medical student, one who had a broader training than the classical pre-med student. I remember particularly that the idea was broached that even music students, people who had majored in music, could enter the medical school and get their scientific courses on the campus. And that is the reason for which I was brought into the planning. And it's also my recollection that once the medical school personnel were appointed, they either had no intention of building a medical school of that kind, or they had no knowledge that that was the initial planning for the medical school.
We're going into a break now. When we come back, I'll ask Dr. Hartman to respond with his understanding to that view. We'll be right back after a quick break. You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with Professor Henry Schein and Dr. Ted Hartman, who are helping us understand the origin of the medical school at Texas Tech University.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
I'm Tom McGovern, host of Faith Matters. If you are just joining us, our program this Sunday afternoon is taken from our archives. And with the late Reverend Ted Dodds as host, the late Dr. Ted Hartman and Henry Schein as guests, we are continuing a conversation of the early history of the medical school.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. I'm Ted Dodds, and today our two guests are Professor Henry Schein and Dr. Ted Hartman, two men deeply involved in the origin of the medical school at Texas Tech, which I see as a major achievement against some surprising odds. Professor Schein has just indicated to us something of an idea about what a medical student might be and come from, and I'd ask Dr. Hartman to respond to Professor Schein's observation.
The idea that a medical school could have a different approach was a very attractive idea, particularly the clinicians had been trained, not most of them, all have been trained in a very classical medical school in which the basic sciences were geared to the idea of dealing only with occurrences or things that occurred in the human body. And this did create some difference in thought about it, although the original group that were recruited, not all of them, but a sizable number, had been recruited without talking to them about this idea that there would be a totally different type of approach to medical education.
When you use the word different idea, was it pretty unique to have that idea, or was that an idea floating around in the culture?
There was one other school that had this sort of program going. It was the University of Missouri in Kansas City. One of their associate deans, Richard Novak, was consultant in trying to develop this type of program here. There was some conflict in trying to get the ideas gel together that it would be different, but it would be the same. And that was quite a problem for us. Now, one of the other things that occurred just as the school was getting started was that up to this point, the federal government was making very large financial grants for the startup of a new medical school, which included a teaching hospital. These large amounts would pay for most of the expenses of getting buildings done for the school and for the hospital. Just as we were into our first few months, the government changed that entirely, and there was virtually no help from the federal government financially in getting this new medical started or in getting a teaching hospital built here in Lubbock.
Let me ask maybe a question that along that line. Like Professor Schein, you're on the university campus. Your initial awareness is, here it comes, the medical school, and we will help and be involved. What was the general feeling, say, among the Texas Tech University community about having a new institution, the medical school?
Well, I can speak mostly from the point of view of the chemistry people, but I think on the campus there was some concern that a medical school might eventually begin siphoning off money from the state that would otherwise go to the university. I have that impression from the general university feeling, but of course the people in the sciences, the basic sciences, had their own fears and their own hopes from the establishment of the school. From the point of view of the basic sciences, the way it was first proposed, they anticipated that they would have a big role in the development of the medical school. It turned out not to be so, and I was astonished in reading this book by George Tyner, who was the dean of the medical school eventually, the book you quoted, Eye of the Storm. I was astonished to find that when the teaching personnel were being hired for the medical school, they were not told by the medical school upper administration of the concept of building a different kind of medical school. So there was a clash between two faculties. The science faculty and the university had one game plan, and the science faculty and the medical school had an entirely different game plan, and that led to an enormous amount of controversy about teaching methods, teaching concepts, the building of programs, it was an extraordinarily difficult time initially.
You lay that out very well. So I wonder, Dr. Hartman, you're caught in the midst of that kind of two different approaches. What was that like for you?
We really had a hard time justifying what we were trying to do and what had been told to the academic faculty across the campus. Most of us were perfectly willing to work something through. Most of us clinicians were willing to work something through. But the basic science people in the medical school were extremely reluctant to give way to any really cooperative venture with the academic campus.
What would be the root of that reluctance to give way to the campus academics?
One of them was their concern that they might not have a location where they could be doing the basic science research, which the basic science people in medical schools are historically very involved in. They didn't give it a chance, actually, to find out, but there was this concern. And the other was that in this new teaching system, the plan was to have groups of students, 6 or 12, into a small group, which would be taught and managed by a single teacher called a docent. And that single teacher was responsible to be sure that those students received the necessary basic science education. This had been tried at one other school, and it had not worked well there. And it was proving to be very difficult for us to try to get into a system like that at this point.
Oh, my. You add to the mystery. I mean, we have all these things going against the medical school, and then this approach to teaching had been tried and didn't work at another, and yet was tried here. So I'm getting a question now. How did this thing ever make it? We'll need to take a break now, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with Professor Henry Schein and Dr. Ted Hartman.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
I'm Tom McGovern, host of Faith Matters. If you are joining us for the final segment of today's program, we are revisiting the past as we recall the early history of the medical school, with the late Reverend Ted Dodds as host and the late Dr. Ted Hartman and Dr. Henry Schein as guests. We invite you to join in this illuminating and interesting conversation.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. I'm Ted Dodds, and our guests today, Professor Henry Schein, Dr. Ted Hartman, are men who helped establish the medical school at Texas Tech University. Now, I've read the book about that establishment, and it still astonishes me that the medical school even exists. It had such a huge list of things against it, the worst being some interpersonal relationships, let alone trying to get money out of the state, let alone having to relate to Lubbock and ask for responses from the Lubbock citizens and West Texas. So my question to you two men is, how in the world did the medical school ever come to be, and what do you see its benefit to the rest of us here in West Texas?
Well, now, Ted, you were asking that question on a very aptly named program, Faith Matters.
Thank you.
That is what the medical school was built on. It was the faith of a lot of people, not including me. I'm thinking about people like Ted Hartman, who came here to be in the medical school, the faith of the local doctors who participated in the teaching and the development of the courses, the faith on the people of Lubbock, in fact, because there was a lot of trouble with the Lubbock County Hospital District on the funding of what was going to be a teaching hospital, a clash as to who was going to be running that hospital, the city people or the university people. There were so many of these clashes between concept and idealisms and philosophies that it is astonishing that the medical school really got on its feet, has turned out to be extraordinarily successful, and I can only say to you, it comes from Faith Matters.
Well, I love your word astonishing. Thank you, Professor Schein. Dr. Hartman.
Well, I certainly second what Dr. Schein just said. I think most of us held on to it with the faith that this really could be something of worth to this entire area. We were fighting a lot of downstate feeling. San Antonio thought they should have a medical school before we did. Austin thought they should have one before we did. And all that was identified in the legislature. So when there were efforts to get the funding adequately based for Texas Tech School of Medicine, there was great opposition because of all this. And I will say that Governor Preston Smith was extremely useful in working with these people in a very positive way to help them understand that West Texas was medically underserved. Those others were not underserved yet, but if conditions continued, they would be without an adequate medical care. But that West Texas really needed this school in order to bring health care to this broad area. Now, this broad area is the size of New England and New York State, and that gives you an impression of what really existed in the way of coverage that was necessary.
So there was a vision, at least, say, from politicians like Preston Smith, of the need in the area.
Very much so.
And that helped to move it, and really to get it here over some other cities who were, I think, very strongly after that.
Yes. Finally, what occurred was Preston Smith got together with the chairman of the board of University of Texas, and they worked out an arrangement where the University of Texas could put a medical school in Houston if Texas Tech were allowed to have a medical school here in Lubbock.
I see, a compromise that helped both parties, or
yes,
both groups.
Right.
Well, if I could ask you, gentlemen, we have the medical school. It made it up against what seemed like impossible circumstances, and so now it exists. What does a medical school do for a community? If I could continue a little, like my physician is a graduate of the medical school, and recently he told me his basic approach to medicine was that he wanted to relieve pain and prolong life. That was his core approach. So what does the medical school do for our community, and what do doctors do, in your opinion, who graduate?
Many of our doctors who have graduated from the very beginning had excellent clinical training and have been well received across the country when they were seeking a place to do their further training in the various specialties. Dr. Bob Salem especially noticed that because he arranged the first clinical teaching in surgery for an entire year for an entering third class and had the surgeons in town doing a great deal of that teaching. And those students understood what surgery was and how you made it effective for an entire district.
Well, that was a great benefit to the community to use our local physicians. I know they're very proud of that.
Yes.
Well, you have to bear in mind that Lubbock is now a medical center, and at the heart of that center is the medical school. Attracted to Lubbock for its ability to provide medicine and medical care are people from a very large area in West Texas, New Mexico, and other parts of distant parts of the state. And I think that the building of the medical school and the concept that there is medical research going on here, biochemical research going on here, the success of the medical school is seen in what I now say about Lubbock. It is a medical center useful for not just the people of Lubbock, the community of Lubbock, but a very widespread area of neighboring towns and districts.
The growth of all types of medical care came about because of the competition, I think, the medical school brought and showed that we needed these other types of services available at the same time.
Gentlemen, to finish this visit, I would like to ask you both a question. What one thing would you say you feel deep gratitude in yourself for, having been able to be a part of the establishment of this medical school? All three of us are old men, and to be able to think of one thing for which you feel gratitude for having been through what was very a controversial and difficult development of an institution.
I have to defer to Ted because he has really been part of the medical school. I feel gratitude for having been part of the growth of a university. I've spent 60 years in this university, and I have seen it grow from basically an undergraduate institution to a renowned institution for research and teaching. That is where my gratitude is directed. I cannot say that I was really part of the growth of the medical school. I was, as I said in the early part of our discussion here today, an innocent bystander who had a modest part. But it is for the university that I have the gratitude for having been part of it.
And I have a new gratitude for your humility. Dr. Hartman, what is something for which you have gratitude, having gone through this?
It has been very rewarding to me to work with these young people coming into medical school and to see them mature and become physicians acceptable throughout the United States. One of the interesting things that I find today is in medical circles throughout the state, Lubbock is considered one of the four major medical centers now, the others being Houston, Dallas, and San Antonio.
Gentlemen, I feel deep gratitude myself for getting to have this few moments with you. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Ted Dodds, and you've been listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with Professor Henry Schein and Dr. Ted Hartman.
I hope you enjoyed this special trip down memory lane this Sunday afternoon as we looked at the early history of the medical school. With the late Reverend Ted Dodds as host and the late Dr. Ted Hartman and Dr. Henry Schein as guests, this coming Sunday we invite you to join us as Dr. Ted Mitchell, Chancellor of the Texas Tech University System and President of the Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center, will share with us his vision and his appreciation of this special 50th anniversary of the foundation of the Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center.
You've been listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with your host, Tom McGovern. Join us next Sunday for another edition of Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1, a service of Texas Tech Public Media.